Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I'm going to preach a short sermon. Everybody's in favor of that, right? From chapter 6. Verses. Get started on. Hurry up! Don't dilly-dally. I hear you. 1 Corinthians 6. And we'll look at verse 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20. Now, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. They're having quite an issue at Corinth. They're having some serious moral issues in the church. The people are fighting one with another. They're really tore up about different things. And some people are even saying that, you know, I'm a part of this church, but I'm not a part of a... They think that probably Gaius might have been the pastor at this church, or Apollos. And some people in the church are saying, I'm connected to Gaius, I'm connected to Paul. Others say, I'm of Apollos. In chapter 1, it says this, this I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, that's Peter, and I Christ. He says there's division in the church because people are connecting themselves to different leaders that have been at the church, and this is causing a problem. And they're fighting, and one fellow was committing adultery or fornication, and some of the people in the church are winking at it and saying, you know, who can blame him? And others are saying we should put him out of the church, and the Apostle Paul has to write and get on to him. And they're suing one another, taking each other to court over petty differences and offenses. And the Apostle Paul says you shouldn't be doing this. And they're having the Lord's table, and some people are coming and bringing a lot of food, and they're not sharing it with the poor people in the church. And some people are even getting flat out smashed at the Lord's Supper. And man, they're really having big problems in the church at Corinth. And in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul kind of brings some of these things to into a very compact statement. And he says in verse 19, he says, what? With a question mark. He says, what? What is wrong with you people? Have you ever done that? You ever somebody's asking you some silly question, and you go, what? What are you doing? What? Are you kidding me? And my kids have picked this thing up where they say, seriously? Seriously? And it's even bled over into some of the adults that I know. Seriously? And there's nothing that irritates me more than that. I don't know what it is about it, but when it goes, seriously? And it really annoys me when I hear it. And it may not annoy you, maybe your favorite thing to say, but it really annoys me. Another thing that really annoys me is I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That really annoys me as well. Let's just talk about all the things that annoy me in life this morning. There are things that just get on your nerves. And the Apostle Paul, whatever they're doing, he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own. Don't you know this? It's another question mark. And ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He brings all these things kind of to a conclusion. He says, I want you people to understand something. And he says, first of all, he says, I want to remind you that your body is a temple. Your body is a temple. And the word temple is a building for worship. He says that your body has a purpose in this world. Your body has a purpose in this realm. Your body is to be used for something. Your body is a temple. It's a building. It's a habitation for worship. Now, when the apostles, when they talk about the church being a building, it's talking about all believers who are compacted together as a habitation of God, which is what Jesus said. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, where is he? There am I. Where? In the midst. I'm in the midst of the habitation. So when I talk about the church, about individuals who come together and form a habitation, form a congregation, that he inhabits that. That's a corporate dwelling place. But when he says your body is a temple, it's talking about you and I as individuals, singly, independently of others, that we are temples of God. One of our friends, they're kind of like New Age Christians, I guess, and they have this little thing at their church, And it's called mini temples for the kids. The children's ministry is called mini temples. And I think it's a dumb, it just sounds dumb to me because that annoys me, right? It's just, there's nothing wrong with it. They say the kids are mini temples. I guess that's one way to look at them. There are mini temples. Mini temples of destruction. Amen? Mini temples of terror. Indiana Jones, they say they'd be mini temples of doom. So they could be. I know. So our body is a temple. It's a temple for worship. Now, who worships in this temple? That's the question, isn't it? If my body is a temple, if my body is a place of worship, who worships in my temple? Well, it says that there's somebody inside of us. Now, notice it says, is the temple of whom? Of the Holy Ghost. So my body is not the place where I worship, although we worship our bodies. He says, our body is the place where the Holy Spirit worships. It's where the Holy Ghost is at. Now that's an interesting idea, isn't it? That inside of me, there is a part of God, the Holy Spirit, and that He is worshiping inside of me. Now, who is He worshiping? Is He worshiping His temple? Is He worshiping me? No. Because when you go to a temple to worship, you're not there to worship the temple. The temple is a place where you worship. Who is the Holy Spirit then worshiping if He's inside of me as His temple? He's worshiping God. Jesus said the time will come that men will worship me in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God. The Holy Spirit is worshiping the Father in me, through me. And this is what believers are. We are filled. We are inhabited with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is worshiping the Father through me. Now, how is that done? He worships the Father by working through me, by using me. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, if we follow the Holy Spirit, we shall not fulfill, guess what, the lust of the flesh. And so He's working in me. He's worshiping the Father by guiding me to a certain way of living, to a certain way of behavior, because my body is His dwelling place. My body is His temple. It is in me that He has come to live, and it is in me He is worshiping the Father by molding me and making me into something that's pleasing to the Father. That is what makes Him happy. Makes God happy. Excuse me. He's worshiping in me. He's inhabiting me. Now, He says here, it's a reminding. He worships by leading us to obey God. Now, know ye not, He says. Know ye not that ye are not your own. Because we get this idea in the reminder, this is my body, this is my life, it's my business. I'm going to do it my way because I'm the one who's in charge of me. It's going to be my way. Now, it was interesting to see this year at Thanksgiving that people who are employees at some stores were protesting the holiday shopping day, Black Friday. And why were they protesting? Because it was encroaching on what? On their day off, on Thanksgiving. And people were, you know, protesting, walking off the job some places, and they're protesting. They're saying that Thanksgiving is whose day? My day. And ain't nobody going to mess up my day. Now that's interesting. Because when you take a job at a place, you agree to work for them, whatever it is, for so much money, right? And so when you walk off your job, you're saying to them, I don't want this job anymore. And I wouldn't have blamed any of those companies if they fired everybody. How they like that, you know, because I'm, you know. I think you have to realize that when you make an agreement with someone, that's an agreement. It doesn't matter how you feel anymore. Your feelings were considered at the beginning when you took the job. They say, we'll hire you. Here's what we're going to pay. You do what we want you to do. And you say, okay, I'm willing now to submit and yield myself to you. Louis L'Amour said it this way, if you take a man's money, you wear a man's brand. Isn't that interesting? Take a man's money, you wear a man's brand. You're loyal to the brand. It'd be good if Christians were that way, wouldn't it? If they would take the blessing of salvation, then they should buy, you know, they should probably live like Christians. Be loyal to Him and His institutions and to His purposes in this world. I'm a Christian. Be loyal to Him. Be loyal to Christ. be a good idea. Know ye not that ye are not your own? Now, what he's reemphasizing to the people at Corinth, now, it is to the people at Corinth that the Apostle Paul says that all things are lawful to me. He says to the people at Corinth, all things are lawful to me. Now, that is an interesting thing. All things are okay for me to do. All things are lawful. But not all things are expedient. Not all things really work out that good. Not all things are really beneficial because of who we belong to. And he reminds the people at Corinth, you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You're not your own Lord. You're not your own King. You're not your own Master. You've been bought with a price. You do not belong to yourself any longer. You are no longer, now these were Romans probably, free-born Roman citizens who had great privileges and great honor. He said, you are no longer free Romans. You are no longer free Americans. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God. You are His because He has bought you with a price. He has purchased you. Now, when me and Valerie got married January 2nd, 1998, when she came down the aisle, and really, this cracks me up. I'm going to get into all kinds of wild stuff. This cracks me up how a boy and a girl can be dating, and the girl will be super concerned about what her boyfriend thinks all the time. Well, I don't want to do that because Billy Ray doesn't like it. Billy Ray doesn't like that outfit. I got to wear this one. Billy Ray doesn't want me to talk to that person. You know what? Until you're married, it doesn't matter what Billy Ray thinks. I think that's right. Because it only matters what Dad thinks and Mom thinks, right? See, I don't feel like I'm getting a lot of support on that. Because it doesn't matter what her boyfriend thinks. It doesn't matter what your girlfriend thinks. It matters what Mom and Dad think. And you know what? I never made any demands of Valerie. I made no demands of Valerie until she walked down that aisle and Ron Courtney took her hand and put it in my hand. He gave her to me. As far as I'm concerned, we were married right then. She was mine. He said he had had the oversight of her. He'd been bossing her around and yelling at her and making her do what she was supposed to do. And he said, here you go, now it's your turn. I have done my best. You know, really, you know, dads, they give up at about 20 years old. Say, here, give her somebody else. So I've been yelling at her now for 15 years. I'm teasing. I yell at her sometimes. Not too much. Now she has been given to me. And in American culture, we don't buy our wives for a price, although in some cultures they do still do that. She became mine. She belongs to me. Now she's my wife. And so after we got married, it no longer mattered what her dad thought anymore. And her dad never called me up and said, hey, you're not doing this right. When her dad gave her to me, he said, she's yours. He stayed out of it. Which is what all in-laws should do. Amen? All in-laws. And so, bought with a price. And so, when you came to Christ, when you came to Jesus, you took Him. He said, come unto me and take my yoke. Take my control. You do not belong to yourself anymore. Now you belong to someone else. And we lose something in the English language because the Greek word for servant, the servants of Christ, is doulos, it's slave. The only people that get it right, believe it or not, are Jehovah's Witnesses. Their Bible says we are slaves of Christ. I can't believe they could be right about anything, can you? They're right about that. We're slaves. We belong to Him. We're bought. We're purchased by Christ. We're bought. Now we belong to Him. And since we belong to Him, He has certain obligations. He says, since you belong to me, I'm going to give you the blessings of being connected to me. When Valerie married me, she got all the blessings of being connected to me. Amen? She got a smaller house and one less bathroom. Cheaper clothes, you know, and a beat up car. I mean, but there are certain benefits that she got when she married me. And when you came to Christ, you became His. You belong to Him. And He has benefits that He's giving to you because you belong to Him. These benefits are not extended to others. They're unique to the people He has purchased. They're unique to the people He has bought. In John 10:15, the great shepherd, the great passage about the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. In John 10:15, He says, I lay down my life not for the goats. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have bought these. Other sheep, He says, I have, are not of this fold. He opens it and says, there are a lot of sheep in the world, and I've laid down my life for them. They belong to me. And because they belong to me, they can come in and go out and find pasture, and I take care of them. And Paul says to the Corinthian people, he says to a free people, he says to a people who are making the most of Christian liberty, you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. We forget that, don't we? That I belong to Him. I am His. I am His. So, I belong to Christ. I'm the property of someone else. Now, when you borrow something from someone else, when you have someone else's property, how do you treat it? Differently, right? When we went to Batesville, every year I've went there, they have a big, the family has a big farm up there along the White River. Every year that we went there, I've been around the farm before in a truck, but I know they got four-wheelers. I know they got them because I hear them talk about them. And this year is the only year anybody ever brought up getting them out and letting everybody ride them. But I was disappointed because they didn't get the four-wheelers out for everybody. They got out a mule. A mule. Not a hee-haw mule, but like a Kawasaki Yamaha kind of mule thing, all right? And they got that sucker out, and Lauren drove it. Mitchell drove it. The other nephews, nieces and nephews drove it, and I got to drive it. First, Valerie drove it. And she came back with three flat tires and smoking. We borrowed that mule, and my other nephews are, he's 24 years old, and 24-year-old unmarried men, they ain't got any sense. And he said, and finally he said, I want to drive. And I had put the thing in low with all the kids driving it, and told them, I just put it in gear and said, now floor it. And they thought they were going 100 miles an hour, because they're holding on the floor. But I had it in low, so it really wasn't that fast. Well, he got in it, you know, and it was in low. He sees L and H, and what does he do? He's smart, right? He puts it in high. And for the next 30 minutes, it was basically hell on earth. Because he drove like a wild man. In fact, I said to him a number of times, this is not ours! Because I didn't want to tear it up, you know? Because who's going to be responsible? The oldest person, right? It's me. I said, this is not ours. I said, slow down. I said, watch out for that. Watch. Because it wasn't ours. It wasn't ours. It was a privilege. And if we tore it up, they may not let us ride it again next year. You know? And I would like to ride it again next year. You see, you can abuse a privilege. See, like, you're free right now as a Christian. You can do anything you want. But if you do the wrong thing, you won't be able to do anything anymore. You can mess up your privilege. You can mess up your freedom. At our house, we have this idea of trust. We trust our kids to do this and this and this, and sometimes they violate that trust, and then we don't let them do it anymore. Trust. We're not our own. We're His property. And if you remember that you are God's property, think about that the next time you think about doing the things you want to do. I'm going to do this because I can. Well, you're God's property. What does God want you to do with His property? Will God mind if you do that with His property? If I borrow Amelia and Dennis, they got a Grand Marquis out here. You know, if I say I want to borrow their car, they'll probably let me borrow it, and I want to drive it. And I go down here to the stoplight, my neighbors, and I decide should I power brake this car or not. Power brake is mash on the brake and mash on the gas. Then what do? You let on the brake and. Does Amelia and Dennis care if I do that? It's the way Amelia drives, so who cares, right? No, they mind because it's their property. They mind. They mind. You know? I am God's property. Is God going to mind if I do this with His property? Is He going to mind? I forget it, man. I forget it. I forget that I belong to God. I forget that I'm His. And I think, you know, it's just me. You know, I can do this. But it's not me. I'm God's property. He says it very plainly. Ye are not your own. And ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Bought with a price. And the price is Jesus. The death of Christ. You became His because you have been purchased. You've been bought. And Paul doesn't go back and bring up Christ's death. He is simply telling these people who are free, who probably own slaves, he verifies in their minds, he reminds them that when you're bought, you belong to somebody else. You lose the access. You lose the privileges. Therefore, he says, I want you to do this. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, because they are whose? They're God's. They're God's. That's the conclusion. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit because they are God's. Now what this means is this, is that my eyes belong to God. My eyes belong to God. And what I look at is important. Because these are God's eyes. God's eyes. And I can take God's eyes and I can look at lots of stuff, can't I? I can look at all kinds of things. Things I shouldn't look at. Things I should look at. These are God's eyes. These are God's ears. Whose ears? They're God's ears. And I can listen to all kinds of things, can't I? But these are God's ears. Whose ears? God's ears. These are God's feet. These are God's feet. These are not my feet to carry me hither and thither. These are God's feet. These are God's intimate parts. These are God's. I am God's. I am His. Therefore, glorify God in your body. My body is God's. And I am to use my body to glorify God. I belong to Him. I don't get to do whatever I want to do. I need to do what He wants me to do. I need to measure myself by His standard, not by mine. I am God's. I belong to Him. He has purchased me. And because I belong to Him, He restricts me sometimes. But He restricts me, but lets me choose whether or not to obey Him or not. He doesn't put a bit in your mouth and a reins attached to it. He's not jerking you hither and thither. He says, I'm giving you liberty and I want you to have the freedom to do right. That's what liberty is. Freedom to do right. Glorify God in your body. And then the Apostle Paul, he goes forward because he knows that what the body does is determined by what's on the inside. Spirit. And in your spirit, which are God's. In my internal life. What I am thinking. What I am on the inside. Your body is God's. Your spirit is God's. You belong to God. God didn't just buy your soul when He saved you. If He only bought your soul when He saved you, guess what will not be resurrected? Your body. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed things in my spirit. Have you ever done that? Enjoyed things in your spirit? You have a happy feeling on the inside? Like, you know, I don't know. I can't even think of a way to illustrate it, really. Maybe if I told you after the church today, we're all going to go eat steak free. In your mind, you enjoy that thought, right? A free meal. Everybody likes a free meal, right? Intellectually, I'm enjoying something in my mind. Sometimes I think about my wife and I think I'm enjoying the thought. I'm enjoying it on the inside. And that's fun. When we were going to get married, I was thinking about what married life was going to be like. I'm thinking about it, enjoying it in my mind. But when I got married, I'm not only enjoying it in my mind anymore, now I'm enjoying it in my body, in my flesh. Last night, we're laying in bed, and I reached over there, and I can feel a person over there. I can put my hand on her, and she's there. Before I got married, I just thought about it. And you know, I guess maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago, Valerie finally started drinking coffee. She finally got really saved. Amen? And as a boy, Edith, when I was a teenage boy drinking coffee, I would think about what it would be like to drink coffee with my wife. It's a weird thing to think about, isn't it? To sit down and sit there in two steaming hot cups of coffee and drink coffee together. Now, I never thought about talking. I never thought about talking with my wife. Just sit in silence, you know, and drink the coffee. And I thought about it. And now I'm enjoying it in my body. I'm enjoying it physically. I belong to Him. Now, when Christ saved you, He saved your soul. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And you're enjoying that now. The day is going to come because He saved you in your entirety. Right now, we enjoy heaven. We think about heaven. And if you die right now, your soul is going to go to heaven. And you're going to enjoy heaven in an ethereal sense. Not in a real and tangible sense, but in a spiritual sense. But the day is going to come when you're going to go to heaven in the resurrection, and you'll have a body and a soul to enjoy heaven with. And I think that's going to up the ante. I think that heaven, spirit heaven, has got to be pretty awesome. Amen? But I think that physical heaven is going to be a whole other realm of great. A whole other realm of divine. A whole other realm of awesome. To feel the streets of gold beneath my fleshy feet. To walk through the crystal river and feel the cool touch of water on my flesh. To feel the bread in my hand. To taste the wine at the marriage supper of the Lamb in my mouth. To eat from the tree that bears 12 different kinds of fruits. To eat from the tree of life. To walk through heaven, to enjoy a place prepared for me, a house, a dwelling place, to enjoy people. It's going to be better. And Paul says to people at Corinth, he says, listen, God, He saved your soul, and He also bought your body. And so while you're here, glorify God with your body. Because in your body is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, He's trying to get you to do the right things, and you're not obeying Him. You're resisting Him. You're wanting to exercise your freedom and say, this is my body, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to live how I want to live. But He says, listen, you are not your own. You are not your own. And you have to be reminded. The Apostle Paul gives us this statement. The Lord gives it to us. The Holy Spirit has put it down in black and white for us to be reminded. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. And because we belong to God, glorify Him. Glorify Him. I really hurt my dad one time. I bought a car from this old man, car dealer. And my family, we're not really Jews, you know, like born Jews, but my grandpa, he was a Jew. He could Jew people down. You know, he's always working on. And I would go with my grandpa. My dad would do it too. They would both dicker with people. And my grandpa, he was really annoying. He would go to Walmart and try to Jew the people at Walmart down. And that's very annoying, you know, because you have to pay that price. And he would argue and try to get them to come down, and he never succeeded. But I guess it was just his principle. I have to try to get the price down. Everything. It's just the way it was. And so he would. And my dad would do it. And I would go with my dad and my grandpa to different places and do business and, you know, buy stuff, buy low, sell high, and just I'll be with them. And I went on my own. First time I bought this little truck. And the guy, he wanted to give me nothing for my vehicle. I was trading it in. He wanted to give me nothing, you know, but I wanted a lot. And so I tried to drive a hard bargain, you know. I tried to get my price. And finally, I bought the deal and had to get my dad to come down there because I had to sign some papers because I wasn't quite old enough to really do it on my own. And so my dad came down there, and this old man said, yeah, boy, your sure drives a hard bargain. And my dad said, yeah, I guess he does. And he said, He said he learned it all from his grandpa. And I remembered that conversation. I said, yeah, I learned it from my grandpa. Because at that time, I didn't have the warm fuzzies from my dad. I was kind of upset with him. So I didn't really give him the credit. And I think it hurt my dad. Because it wasn't all from my grandpa. Because I saw my grandpa a few times a year. It was my dad every day. It was my dad who taught me all this stuff. It was my dad. It's my dad. I get to credit the wrong person. And I think the Lord is hurt when we don't give Him credit for what He's done for us and yield to Him and say, I belong to You. I'm Yours. It hurts Him. And we have this battle inside of us all the time. We want to do our thing. We want to do God's thing. We want to do our thing. We want to do God's thing. And we have to be reminded that we need to do God's thing over... We need to do our thing over God's thing because we belong to Him. We're bought. Bought with Him. Bought by Him. We belong to Him. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are... It's not yours, yours and His. Which are whose? God's. We belong to God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.